morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Friday, March 20th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. A sixth Republican is running for Wyoming's lone U.S. House seat. Kevin Christensen grew up in Casper before embarking on a nearly three-decade military career and a stint with Lockheed Martin. He returned to Wyoming in 2019 to lead the Bureau of Land Management's High Plains District in Casper. Christensen says his focus is on fiscal responsibility, individual liberty, and fighting federal overreach. He says the current federal debt is our largest national security threat and cannot continue to be deferred. Wyoming's primary election is on August 18th. A Cheyenne man who initially announced his candidacy for governor as a Republican is switching to the Constitution Party. Joseph Kibler moved to the Cheyenne area in 2020 from California. He owns a website and marketing business and is a former firefighter. His main principles are faith, family, freedom, and the future. And he says he will look at everything with the question, are we addressing the root of the problem?
Let's stop wasting money throwing at symptoms and start really looking at how we can create a healthy, thriving society and state.
Kibler and Democratic candidate Gabriel Green are the only non-Republicans thus far in the race. There are four Republican candidates, including current Superintendent of Public Instruction Megan Dagenfelder, current State Senator Eric Barlow, and former U.S. Marine Brent Bean. The primary election is on August 18th. Last fall, Grand Teton National Park announced it was eyeing ways to build more employee housing. As Jackson Hole Community Radio's Jenna McMurtry reports, Kelly, a small community in the park's southeast corner, has been the front-runner location. But residents had mixed feelings about the proposal for up to 12 rentals at a recent open house.
Born and raised Kelly resident Sunny Hoover is hesitant to support more housing in the park. She's worried about the impact on wildlife and long-term community feel.
Kelly is unique. There is character here, diversity, and a strong sense of place. These units are rentals.
95% of Grand Teton's employees live in housing provided by the park, but that still leaves the federal employer 16 units short of its goal. Park Superintendent Chip Jenkins expects that reliance on park-provided housing will only grow in the next few years.
Like almost every organization in Jackson Hole, Grand Teton National Park needs highly skilled, highly motivated people in order to be able to manage the park. And people need places to live.
The park's proposal is still in the early stages, but is looking at previously disturbed land on the outskirts of town. Public comment can be made online through March 30th. I'm Jenna McMurtry, KHOL News.
Visits to national parks dipped slightly in 2025 after record crowds the year before. As parks prepare for a big 2026, the country's 250th birthday, advocates are pushing Congress to renew a key fund for overdue repairs. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen has more.
The Public Lands Legacy Restoration Fund has provided up to $2 billion a year since 2021 for deferred maintenance, but it expired last fall. Bipartisan lawmakers introduced a bill to restore it for eight more years, but it hasn't moved forward. Chris Bell with People for Bikes in Boulder, Colorado, says it's critical for safe biking.
That depends on having the right investments in place to maintain trails, to fix bridges, to make sure that roads are navigable so that you can get to where you need to go.
Governors from Western states sent Congress a letter earlier this month asking for the fund's renewal. As of last year, there were an estimated $40 billion in deferred repairs on public lands. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
The warm winter weather across our region, including record-breaking heat this week, is part of what's called a snow drought. The Mountain West News Bureau's Jenny Kinsey has more.
For the past decade, climatologists have been recording rising winter temperatures, less precipitation, and earlier arrivals of spring-like weather. It's a somewhat new phenomenon that researchers only a decade ago dubbed a snow drought. Daniel McAvoy is a climatologist with the nonprofit Desert Research Institute in Nevada.
A warm and wet snow drought is when you have warmer temperatures, still have precipitation, but have low snow. And then a dry snow drought is more of what I think you just think of as a common drought, where you have low precipitation.
Arizona, Colorado, Idaho, Nevada, New Mexico, Utah, and Wyoming are all affected by the phenomenon this year, McAvoy adds. He emphasizes that early personal and civic water conservation efforts can help ahead of what's expected to be a dry spring and summer. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Jenny Kinsey.
And finally, I need to add a correction. Yesterday, we aired a story about Yellowstone National Park's visitor numbers in 2025, and we mentioned the new $100 surcharge for international visitors, saying it was $20 more than before. That was incorrect. International visitors will have to pay $100 in addition to any normal fee to enter 11 national parks, including Yellowstone. And now here's Ivy Engel with a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. Thunder Basin High School indoor track athletes had a historic showing at the state meet. The Gillette News Record reports it came down to the final event, but the girls' team took the state title for the first time in school history. The Thunder Basin boys' team came in third, which was their best showing. Four Powell High School graduates have received the highest degree possible from the National FFA organization. The Powell Tribune reports Brooke Bessler, Wyatt Blackmore, Emma Brents, and Shelby Carter received their American FFA degrees, and they're all from the same chapter. Fewer than 1% of members in the country will earn it. Newcastle will host a traveling monument to Vietnam veterans this fall. The Newcastle Newsletter Journal reports the moving wall is a scale replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The town was selected to host it during the annual Sturgis Motorcycle Rally this August. The mayor of Newcastle proclaimed 2026 the Year of the Veteran in response. And according to hair transplant surgeon Dr. Terzeler, Evanston is the most damaging town in Wyoming for your hair. Laramie came in second. The rankings were based on things like UV radiation, wind speed, and water hardness. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. We all know that beef production is a big business in Wyoming. Just how many cattle are in the state? Send us your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout-out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, what treaty allowed for the establishment of Thermopolis? It was the 1868 Fort Bridger Treaty, in which the Eastern Shoshone and Bannock tribes ceded land which included the famous hot springs and the land upon which the town of Thermopolis was soon established. Congratulations to Annika Mitchell, who was the first to submit the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief on this last day of this weirdly warm winter. I hope you can get outside and enjoy the weather, and join me again on Monday.